This is Pastor Emery with broadcast number 7 on the Money Changers. The state of South Dakota recently removed all restrictions on the charging of usury. As a result, several credit card companies are moving their headquarters to South Dakota. They will then be allowed to charge you, the creditor, no matter what state you live in, whatever amount of interest they would like to charge on your credit card balance. God Almighty forbids the charging of interest or usury on loans, calling it theft. Today, God willing, I'll be discussing how the violation of that law of God has resulted in our whole nation becoming the servant of the moneylenders. Stay tuned. Get your Bibles and call your friends. We are going to show how our banker system of debts and usury violates God's law and is the source of all America's economic troubles. In the book of Deuteronomy, where God gave the statutes and judgments and the explanations of His law, we read this in Deuteronomy 23, verse 19. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Then in verse 20, as this is repeated, a condition is stated. Unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to do in the land whither thou goest to possess it. In spite of all the promises of blessings that God had made to His Israel people, it appears here that those blessings were at least in part contingent upon usury not being charged in the land of Israel. Many churchgoers in America are beginning to realize that the blessings of God upon our nation are disappearing. Food surpluses, good health and long life, peace and prosperity, the respect of other nations are no longer with us. In their place are coming upon us the actual judgments of God, which were promised to come upon the children of Israel if they disobeyed God's laws. The 28th chapter of Deuteronomy is a startling thing to read in the light of present-day America. One of the things that God Almighty told our Israel fathers would happen to their descendants if they disobeyed God's law is in Deuteronomy 28, verse 43 and 44. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. To paraphrase that, God told us we would go into captivity to those who lent us money. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 22 and verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Are you not, as a debtor on your house, your automobile, on credit card purchases, and as a payer of the interest on city, state, and national debts, really a servant to the lender? Of course you are, for your work and the product of your labor is paid into the hands of the lenders. You are their servants for a large part of every year, just as God Almighty said our people would be if we refuse to obey His law. Some of you already realize President Reagan is appointing mostly members of the Council on Foreign Relations and members of David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission to the Cabinet and other top offices. This is the same thing that President Jimmy Carter did when he obtained the presidency. The same people who have misruled America for the last 50 years are still in charge. Nothing has changed except the names. And of course the question should be asked, why should it change? If God Almighty has decreed that we will be in bondage to the money changers until we change our ways, why do we expect a change because politicians with new names have been elected? In broadcast number 6 of the Money Changers, I explained how commercial banks create the money they lend. Although they would like the public to think this money costs them something, the truth of the matter is that it does not. When they lend you $6,000 to purchase a car, the banker does not need his own money or anyone else's to make that loan. He simply gives you a piece of paper called a deposit slip, crediting your checking account with $6,000. You then write a check on your own account to the car dealer. From that moment on, this checkbook money passes into circulation as money, with each person writing further checks upon it. No actual money was used, nor is it necessary that any be available. Economists estimate that about 95% of all transactions in the United States are by check, using this created debt, and that is the correct term, using this created debt as money. That $6,000 cost the banker only the time it took to accept your application and issue the deposit slip. Yet he will draw interest or usury on it for the life of the loan. And as I consider the rest of this, please remember, I am discussing a system which would not even exist if we obeyed God's law forbidding usury. Now, I know some will, of course, say, but Pastor Emery, what about reserves? Doesn't the Federal Reserve require that each bank keep a percentage of reserves in case people do want the cash? That is right, they do. Presently, it is less than 10%. However, I will explain it by using 10% because it is easier to figure. Most of you think the banks lend to one person the money deposited in the bank by another, and that is what they want you to think. However, here is how the process actually works. Let us say one person deposits $10,000 in a savings or checking account in a bank. The banker will pay the depositor 10% interest or $1,000 for the use of that $10,000. However, that $10,000 in the bank then serves as a reserve account for the banker to lend not the $10,000, but $100,000 of checkbook money. That $10,000 on deposit is the 10% he needs for the reserve for the $100,000 he is then allowed by law to create and lend. Since he will draw at least 15% interest on the $100,000, or $15,000 in interest that year, and will pay out only $1,000 on the $10,000 reserve account, his net each year, let me repeat that, each year on every $10,000 deposit in his bank is $14,000 or more than the deposit itself. Perhaps that will help you understand why banks spend so many millions of dollars every year with huge newspaper ads and costly television commercials trying to get you to bring a few hundred or a few thousand dollars down to their bank, and why they are tickled pink to pay you 10% interest or 12% interest on it and give you coffee makers and radios and even membership in exclusive clubs if you will deposit money in their bank. With the fractional reserve system, and that is what they call it, a fractional reserve system by which the banks function, they will make more than $1 profit each year on every $1 you put in their account. Why shouldn't they be happy to pay you 10 cents for that $1? They'll make $1.50 or more on it themselves each year. In addition, very little of those deposits are from working people anyway. They don't have savings, they have only debts upon which they pay interest to the bankers. No wonder the banks are taking actual ownership of most of America. No wonder the borrower is becoming the servant of the lender. No wonder those who lend to us are getting up above us very high, and we are coming down very low, and they are becoming the head, and we are the tail. That is what God Almighty warned would happen if we violated his laws, statutes, and judgments. One of those laws, as we have seen, prohibits usury on money. If we, as a nation, obeyed that law of God, the parasitic banking system would not even exist to rob and plunder our people of the fruits of their labor. Under the United States Constitution, the government is supposed to issue money, debt-free and interest-free, to the people to be used as the medium of exchange. The last president to follow the constitutional mandate was President Abraham Lincoln, who issued $450 million in debt-free currency during the Civil War. Since then, for over 100 years, the only source of money has been the banking monopoly, which lends it to us, charges us usury on it, and takes our property in payment. We have prosperity or depression, totally at the whim of the money changers. Because the only way in which new money goes into circulation in America is when someone borrows it from a banker, when the people are confident of success, they borrow money to buy homes, autos, and so on, and we expand our businesses, increasing the money supply and having a temporary prosperity. Then, as we pay off the loans, the available money, that is the checkbook money, shrinks rapidly and money becomes scarce. Since people must always take more out of circulation to pay the loan than they put into circulation when they borrowed it because of the interest, only they and other people borrowing more and more money can keep a medium of exchange available to the nation. Let me describe a typical loan, and I will explain how our money appears and disappears. Remember, new money comes into circulation only when someone borrows from a bank. If a citizen borrows $60,000 to purchase his house, he, in effect, spends that $60,000 into circulation. This sum would go to the builder, to laborers, material suppliers, landowners, and so on. But on a 30-year mortgage at 14% interest, the banker insists on $710.40 a month be paid to himself, or a total of $255,744 as a repayment of the $60,000 loan. So, during the term of the mortgage, the buyer or the borrower must take out of circulation and return to the banker $255,000 or $195,000 more than he put into circulation in the first place. This is what happens with every loan. No matter what amount is borrowed and put into circulation, a much larger amount, because of the usury, must be taken out of circulation in order to pay off the loan. Remember, in our example, although the borrower owes a total of $250,000, only $60,000 of that was actually created and put into circulation. The other $195,000 was not created and does not exist. It is obvious that if the banks were to stop lending and just collect payments within a matter of weeks, all money would disappear into the coffers of the bankers and the nation would be left without money or medium of exchange. Even if they reduce lending, as they are currently doing, trade, manufacturing, and exchange decreases, depression and even starvation would follow if they continued a low lending policy. We are totally at the mercy of the money lenders. We must borrow ever larger and larger amounts and give up an ever-increasing portion of our production to the money changers. You can see why our prosperous and once debt-free America has now become a nation in which nearly every home, farm, and small business is mortgaged to the bankers, and our cars, furniture, clothes, and even our vacations are often purchased with borrowed money. Now the interest to the bankers on personal, local, state, and national debts totals more than the combined earnings of 20% of the working population. In 1950, the mortgage debt on 1 to 4 family residences was $42 billion. By 1960, it had reached $134 billion. At the end of 1970, it stood at $300 billion, and by the early 1980s, it had jumped to over $500 billion. Add to this apartment buildings, motels, and hotels, and the total enrichment to the bankers on housing alone becomes a fantastic billions upon billions of dollars. Under this debt money system, the bankers get paid for every home 2 and 3 times, and yet they did not provide one board, one drop of sweat, or raise one blister in building it. Yes, you can weep for your people and for your nation, a nation in which people work more intelligently and produce more wealth than all the rest of the world, only to have the reward of their labors pilfered from them and the debts established over them to continue that plundering of their children and their grandchildren for generations to come. Thomas Edison once said, "Interest is the invention of Satan." Over 40 years ago, Will Rogers told his readers that interest was the cause of inflation. Listen to this from February 7, 1933. Quote, "One of my broad-minded papers wired me, 'Didn't use your article today because you attacked credit and loans.'" Will Rogers then goes on, "Well, credit means interest, and I will attack interest because it attacks me and you. There is not a man that's in the hole today that can't look back and wish the first guy had never loaned him anything. Inflation ain't nothing but old man interest just gnawing away at us." End of quote by Will Rogers over 40 years ago. God Almighty forbade interest on money and warned us of the consequences if we allowed usury in the land. We have refused to listen, and we are now suffering the consequences. Once you understand what usury does, you can understand why God Almighty made His blessings upon Israel contingent upon their not allowing usury to be charged in the land. And once you understand this system, you will also realize that hardly a newspaper in America, a magazine, or a television program, and not more than a handful of ministers, ever expose this satanic system of debts, usury, and plunder, or warn our people against it. Even the so-called great evangelists and crusaders never mention this, the greatest sin and iniquity in America. The fastest growing scheme to take more of the people's earnings from them is the issuance of so-called bank credit cards. The sensational propaganda boosting these as the greatest benefit since the invention of money, and even advertised as being better than money, is a colossal deception. Millions of people are using them even for small purchases, and hundreds of thousands of merchants have agreed to finance their sales in this manner by the use of bank credit cards. What the average consumer does not realize is the fact that every time he makes a purchase with a bank credit card, the banker gets from 2% to 5% of that transaction directly from the retailer. It is analogous to a sales tax, except that the 5% goes to the private banks and not to the government. Here again, the bankers make a profit by providing money which they create on their books at no cost to themselves. Many people pay their credit card charges in full each month, so they themselves do not have to pay interest on the balance. However, since the retailer has already paid, let us say for this example, 4% of the total charge, the bank will have gotten their 4% for only that 1 month, making the annual rate of interest approximately 48%, far, far more than the publicized figure. As to the initial charge to the retailers of 2 to 5%, if the state or the local government were to impose an additional 5% sales tax on retail sales, you people would rise up in righteous indignation and organize a protest. However, the bankers, under the guise of providing a service, can and do impose that tax. They know that no politician or newspaper will expose it. With the birth of the bank credit card, bankers became paid partners in every retail business in America which accepts those cards for payments, and the bankers will collect additional billions of dollars from the American people every year. State sales taxes, at least, are used to pay for roads, buildings, welfare, and other state services, whereas the bankers provide none of these but use the money to increase their own wealth. In their plans toward the goal to make all mankind work for them, bankers are even now developing a system whereby no cash will be used at all, all purchases being made by means of credit cards or similar charging devices. The system they are now developing is perhaps best described in Bible prophecy as the beast system. I read of it in Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17. It is amazing how many preachers speak of a future Antichrist and yet never seem to see these prophecies relate directly to the present evil banking system, its credit cards, and its interest and usury on money. In a strictly cashless society, all people would be subject to the whim of the bankers of that society, regulating whether they would have credit to buy even food. No more demonical scheme could be devised for the control of a nation or of the world. Yet we hear no warning from the politicians and little from the clergy. This is Pastor Emery. We covered only a few things in the Bible law on debts and usury. Next week, God willing, I'll get into Bible law on the cancellation of debts. Yes, you heard me right. God, apparently knowing man's proclivity to get into debt, provides a logical, reasonable, and effective means of canceling debts so we cannot pass them on to the next generations as we are now doing. I believe very sincerely that God's word, God's law, will be used to cancel the debts over America sometime in the future. I do not know how soon. So you have your Bible ready next week. We'll read of those laws and also the passages which authorize the execution of the chargers of usury. Until next week, when I return, God willing, with lesson number 8 on the money changers, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.